In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I know I just shrunk like 4 inches, but I don't know if you noticed that or not. It messes with Rob. He's trying to keep the camera on me. I'll try not to run around too much. I know the second Sunday of Easter is really traditionally low Sunday, but honestly, this is ridiculous. I'm going to do my best to try and roll back into some normalcy as best as we can in this situation. And one of the things that's really helping with that, this is one of my favorite passages. And having not really coordinated with Morgan, although we probably could have, we have chosen the very same topic, the concept of Thomas and his understanding or not understanding of the risen Lord. So it's just one of my favorites. I want to start looking at the verses 24 through roughly, 25 or so. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails of his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails, my hand in his side, I will not believe." And ever since he said that, and it was written in this gospel, Thomas has been known as Doubting Thomas. And I thought, well, you know, he didn't really ask for anything more than what all of his friends had already received. They saw the risen Lord. They saw the wounds. I don't know if they touched him. I think that might be a step too far. And the good news is, it doesn't really say whether or not he does touch him, but maybe that was just, you know, to make it more palatable. But either way, he became Doubting Thomas. And I thought, Ed Neer asked, well, why would this be your favorite passage or one of them? I said, well, I spent a good portion of my life doubting whether or not this Jesus was real. A good portion of my life. I know better now, so don't panic. I haven't forgotten. But Thomas gets just a bad rap in this whole thing, in my opinion. His expectations were the same as everyone else's. But because he was there alone, standing there by himself saying, well, I didn't see it, so until I see it. And let's be honest, if someone came and told you this story, you'd be like, no. And I don't know how your friends are, but if it was, 10 of my good friends, I would just assume they had gotten together and were pranking me, honestly. If it was family, I wouldn't have to wonder if they were pranking me. I would know they were pranking me. But I think it was a reasonable comment for him. And a way to respond to what sounds like a really unreasonable bit of news. It makes no sense. There's no logic to it. It seems ridiculous. And his response was like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Doubting Thomas. I never really saw him that way. I just saw him looking like everyone else, except he was standing alone. And then a week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." It's stunning every time he says that, yes. Then he said to Peter, Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Do not doubt, but believe. Reasonable. Do not doubt, believe when Jesus is standing in front of you with his wounds bare and he just appeared in the room. Well, brothers and sisters, as much as I'd like for that to happen for you today, I don't suspect it will. If Jesus comes back, that's not the way he's coming back. He'll be coming from the east, which is roughly behind me. So if you see him coming, wave. That way I'll be sure to turn around. I don't want to have my back to him when he arrives. The sooner the better, to be honest with you. But here we are in the midst of this and we're going to walk it out. Amen. Amen. I do go back later and see where you all respond, so that's helpful. But in the middle of all this, doubting Thomas, I have to read. Here's why I like the passage. As I indicated before, I have doubted. I spent a long portion of my life doubting the reality of a risen Lord. But there's something really interesting. See, because in this process, Thomas believes because he sees the wounds of Jesus. But there's something more happening that I don't think is really articulated in this passage, because I've seen it happen for many people who have not seen, yet who believe, and myself being one of them. I can tell you, there have been more than one occasion when I have discovered that the risen Lord is real. There were times when I discovered and had an encounter with the risen Lord, and afterward tried to convince myself that it hadn't happened, because I couldn't see him. I could only know him in my heart. But I can remember the very first time that the depth of those wounds that Jesus displayed touched the depth of my wounds that I was never going to display to anybody. It was a really wonderful time, men's retreat. They sent us out to be in the wilderness, which meant go for a walk at Dayspring, by the way. And being dutiful, relatively new to this concept of recognizing that this Jesus is real, I grabbed my Bible and I headed into the woods, walked along the path, found a nice quiet place to sit, pray and read scripture. It seemed all very holy. And in the midst of that, the depth of my brokenness rose up. That one thing in the world that I'm not going to share with you now, and probably never will, because, well, honestly, it's none of your business. Jesus and I have talked about it. It just rose up. And as I sat in that, trying to fight it away mentally, I don't want to think about this. I'm trying to engage with the risen Lord here. And Jesus just kept bringing it forward and bringing it forward until it just poured out of me in a confessional way. And I've been accused of being many different things as far as how I am as a churchman. Some people accuse me of being Anglo-Catholic. Some people accuse me of being charismatic. And somewhere in between I fall. If it's biblical, I'm good with it. If it's real, I'm better. And at that moment, I was pushed to my knees and pushed to my face on the ground, and I sobbed. I couldn't move. And I don't know for how long. But what happened in that moment is I truly understood the wounds that Jesus was displaying to Thomas this day, he displays to us every single day. And he says, these wounds, my wounds, the best that this world could do, the most pain that it thought it could inflict, thinking that it could take this life of mine, couldn't. These wounds he bears for us. And at that moment, I knew he bore them for me. And with the vision of his wounds in his hands, in his side, and in his feet, we recognized that it was the offering of his very body and blood so that we could be free of our wounds. See, Thomas recognized him and said, my Lord and my God, when he saw his wounds. I recognized him when I said, my Lord and my God, because he saw my wounds and covered them with his. Covered them by his wounds. We've been freed. This day, this second Sunday of Easter, we recognize and we celebrate a risen Lord. But we cannot truly recognize and celebrate a risen Lord until within the depth of our hearts, in the depth of our brokenness, in the depth of our pain and our shame, whatever it may be, our wounds. We cannot fully recognize a risen Lord until we, in our sin, have died with him and by his wounds been healed, amen? It is by that we can rise up this day and celebrate, and we can look to our Lord and say, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, the one who saves, the one who has saved me, the one who will save you. And if you have not yet come to this understanding and you're looking at me like I'm some crazy Christian because you were just cruising the internet for some reason, brothers and sisters, I am telling you, it is true. Jesus is risen. He is a risen Lord. He is a healer. He is the one who has saved us. We have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And this Easter season is one of joy. But like many occasions, when we recognize extreme joy, it often will come when we have seen extreme sorrow. Thomas had experienced extreme sorrow. All of his hopes and his dreams were shattered when Jesus was arrested, convicted, beaten, forced to carry the wood of the cross up to the hill, and then nailed to the cross in a shameful, shameful fashion, and crucified and died. His whole world collapsed. No wonder when he came back to the room and his friends said, he was here. And he said, I'll believe it when I see it. And then he did. And he said, my Lord and my God. This side of the cross, with the risen Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling his church, brothers and sisters, I say to you, if you have felt the deep sorrow, if your world has crashed down in any way at any time, I promise you, I know. If you are wondering if there is hope in a risen Lord, I promise you, there is. Because I have been raised up with him and can stand this day and without a doubt and without hesitation say to you in the world, my Lord and my God is Jesus Christ. And I know because he has healed my wounds and covered them with his own and proven to me, just as he proved to Thomas, those wounds could not take him. Those wounds could not end the life of the one true God. Your wounds will not end either. They will not end your life. Jesus can cover them, as he's covered mine and countless others. Don't be afraid to go down to the depths with your Lord and your God, so that you can stand in this Easter season and proclaim him and know that which he has said. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. The place of belief comes when we have full engagement, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.